I'm Sina.
I'm Danielle.
We want to focus on television and movies in particular.
Yes. Disclaimer that we are in no way film experts. A deep, like, dive. Be quiet!
Whoa.
I'm yelling.
Back me up on this one.
Hey, you're listening to
Two Girls Watch TV.
I think so.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Two Girls Watch TV. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Stina. Danielle.
I was going to say Danielle. Christina thinks that she's ready to record.
What do you mean? I am.
Okay. Well, good. The opening of this is you saying, I think so.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. I pressed it a little too early. Whoopsies.
Perfect. I want to
break free.
Oh, let me think about this.
To get away? You want to fly away?
It went away.
You How many more go... songs can I come up with I want to? Break free, fly away.
I like an eagle.
Ooh, fly like an eagle. That's a good one.
I know it is. I want to. What are we doing? How could you let this happen?
I started. I bait you. It's too easy.
Yeah. When your co-star has attention deficit disorder, it is a little easy to get off track.
And boy, do I use it to my advantage.
Wow. Okay. So I remember.
Okay.
I texted you about this and I kind of wanted to bring it up on the podcast because I don't know how many people know, your and your mother's love for Max's hot dogs, but mm-hmm. I don't remember if we've ever talked about this on the podcast, but Max's hot dogs is a place that Danielle and her mom have loved over the years. Did you know that it's, I guess now over 95 years old.
I honestly believe that. Also, Max's Hot Dogs, for those of you who don't know, is in Long Branch, New Jersey.
Correct.
If my mother loves one thing more than hot dogs, it's the beach.
Oh, it's Diet Coke.
And me. She definitely loves me.
You're on that list somewhere.
I'm somewhere, but Diet Coke, beach, hot dogs, mix of all three together. Now that's a good time in Linda's book.
Yeah. That's her vacation.
That is. But
100%.
In terms of like New Jersey hot dog places, Rutt's Hut definitely reigns supreme.
Rutt's Hut.
Max's was always played second fiddle. I think mostly just because of the distance to get there. However, you may now continue. Yes, it is 95 years old and I 1000% believe that.
Okay. So since it's so old, they've had different people in charge, and I texted Danielle to let her know, to my horror, because Dave and I start the new reality bit that we're on is Hell's Kitchen and Kitchen Nightmares.
Nice.
And then Dave made me watch like the Best of Bar Rescue. That man is a fucking lunatic. Everybody's always screaming in that. Everybody's screaming.
He is. It's so funny. If you play like an American food reality TV show competition versus Great British Bake Off, two different vibes.
Dude, all I could think about while I was watching these shows are, especially season one of Hell's Kitchen, they are so mean.
This would never happen on Mary Berry's Watch.
This would never happen on Paul Hollywood's Watch.
Well, it would happen in Paul Hollywood would probably get the same sentiment across, but he would do it in a lot subtler, a lot passive way. Where Gordon Ramsay is just like in your face.
Paul Hollywood doesn't tell them that they're worthless.
No, he definitely doesn't that.
You need to go back and watch, well, you don't need to, but like you should consider like finding a reel of like that first season. I mean, it was so bad. He pulled this man over that was overweight and said, hey, fatso, come over here.
Yeah.
Just to tell him to go away and lose some weight. And I was like, this has nothing to do with this cooking. What's happening?
I saw a reel the other day of Gordon Ramsay yelling at children versus Gordon Ramsay yelling at adults. Because Gordon Ramsay hosted like a kids cooking competition.
God help those children.
Well, no. Gordon Ramsay was completely nice to them. Very much like, okay, let's not start a fire because your pan's on fire. And then it's cut to him being like, I don't want you to burn the fucking fish or something like that. Like, mm-hmm. completely different vibes.
What are you, an idiot sandwich?
It's nice to know that Gordon Ramsay understands that he should not yell at children, but adults are fair game.
So, anyway, we start watching, like, clips of, like, older... We had watched, like, older ones, and, like, we have clips of newer ones, and Dave was like, let's watch one of the newer ones. So we watched, I think, like, a couple of them, and he's like, there's one from Long Branch. And I was like, Long Branch? And I was like, oh, and I said out loud, I was like, oh, no. Because it was Max's, and the whole time... It was last night that I texted you, right? Yeah. Last night. I was holding my face the whole time. Because I just watched one where I saw, like, a diner in Queens and how atrocious the kitchen and the basement was. And, like, nothing was labeled. And, like, the chicken, was fermenting. It was frothing. Right.
Don't do this to me. This is how I stopped going to restaurants.
I understand. Ugh. But so I watched that episode, and then Dave's like, there's one from Long Branch. And I was like, it's Max's. Oh, no. And so the whole time I sat there, and occasionally I would go, oh, no. Like, just waiting, anticipating for, like, but I have good news for all of us. Stop it, Otis. For all of us who love Max's, They didn't talk about like the cleanliness. Okay. They just talked about how, like, the recipe and the way that they cook the hot dog has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made it not so good. And then they figured out a way to get the timing back on par.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Gordon added a couple of different hot dogs to the menu as well. So I want to encourage people to go back to Max's.
So here's my gripe with Max's. I have always loved them.
Mm-hmm.
However, I know they did some renovations to the place.
You can think, well, when?
In a past couple years.
Yeah, because it looked more like a warehouse garagey type of place. It wasn't like that when we used to go, right?
No, I don't remember that. I'm honestly a little upset that it's lost its original charm. Like, when you walk into a place like that, you want it to feel the same way it did 95 years ago.
Well, they made it retro.
Yeah.
Again.
Oh, like they
found
did?
The okay, old. Good. They found the old school signs.
Oh, thank God, there. Because I was so worried they lost those signs. Oh, it warms.
No.
Gordon, it warms. Honestly, when I saw the text messages last night, sorry, I didn't text you back last night, but I texted you back this morning. When I saw that, I'm like, the first thing that came to my mind was,
sorry.
I don't know where the signs are, and I'm worried. Because they had such, like, hand-drawn signs with all of the, like, things that they offered on their menu. And one of my favorite memories is, like, looking around the place being like, I want corn on the cob because that sign says I can get it.
So apparently they were just, like, in, like, one of the manager offices or something like that. Like, lying around or, like, stacked against something. And so, like, when they renovated the restaurant, they put them back up.
Oh,
so I think we should go this summer so that you can experience it.
If there is not a bowl of watermelon, only watermelon Jolly Ranchers next to that counter, I'm going to be pissed.
I don't think they mentioned anything about that.
It's a little tiny detail that only a true person who went to Max's religiously would know, that they always just had watermelon Jolly Ranchers, but I love watermelon Jolly Ranchers, and I appreciated a bowl of just that right next to the register.
Who doesn't love watermelon Jolly Ranchers? I'm listening to you. Otis is just being a jerk, so he needs to go to his place, go to your place. Mr. Man, go to your place. Thank you, sir. Watermelon Jolly Ranchers, get out of here, Otis, are the best ones. And I will fight anybody who says anything else. Raspberry is a close second, and maybe apple comes not far after that. Are you laughing at me?
Yes, I am. I 1,000% am.
Why are you laughing at me?
Because Christina just sounds... Why do I always sound like I'm so distant and far away?
Well, that's because I was standing and the laptop was on the floor.
Yeah.
But now I'm nice and close again.
Okay, I'm glad. All right, so how are we tying Max's into the movie that we're watching?
I just wanted to talk about it with you. I didn't really have a connection, but like... I guess it's nostalgic, and the movie that we're doing today is also nostalgic.
Yes.
And I just feel like we haven't done a beach day. Just let's just tell our bosses that we don't want to work on Wednesdays over the summer anymore, like the old days.
Sure. Why don't you start with your boss and see how that goes, and then I'll go from there.
Okay.
If you guys listened to our episode last week, first of all, thank you. Second of all, you would have heard us in the middle of the podcast come up with what we were talking about today as our oldie but goodie, because every start to the new year, we start with an oldie but goodie. Christina, mm-hmm. What are we talking about today?
Miss Congeniality.
Oh, yeah, baby. Every time this is on like ABC Family, Freeform, or TBS. Is TBS still a thing? TNT? FX? We have the movies. Anytime this is on Basic Cable, you better believe I'm putting it on.
You have Basic Cable?
Well, I have Hulu Live, but like, let's say you're at a hotel and you're scrolling through and you see Miss Congeniality, it's an immediate, yes, please.
I don't think I've ever seen it on Basic Cable. But
really?
No. How did you watch this, actually, is my question.
I watched this on YouTube because it's completely free on YouTube.
Ads.
Yes.
It's free with ads, which is fantastic.
Do you know when this movie is from?
2000.
Yeah, it is. 23-year-old mm-hmm. movie.
Lot of surprises that I wasn't expecting to see that I totally forgot about.
Really?
Yeah, well, so it's been a long time since I've seen the Twin Towers in something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you forget
about
that.
So I was like, holy shit. Like, just like weird abstract angles of the Twin Towers. And I was like, I haven't seen these. Like,
It's been a minute. Been a minute. Mm-hmm.
What's happening? Who put these there?
2001 did.
I know, well, yeah, then 2001 happened. But yeah.
I'm saying I should have said 2000 there. Whoops. I was looking at anyway.
That's okay.
I was not making a 9/11 a joke, and I apologize if someone thought that.
It's all good. 2001 took them away. They were there in 2000. Yeah. But it was just, I remember like certain movies, I don't remember what movie, so don't quote me on this.
I won't.
I'll need to look it up. But I remember hearing about a certain movie that was coming out around that time, or maybe it was in like some phase of production around the time when the Twin Towers fell. And so they went back and removed the towers in post. Was it a Spider-Man movie?
I'm like vaguely remembering that, but I think that I thought it was that they kept them.
Oh, I don't know.
And it was like weird to watch them afterwards. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that either, but I am vaguely remembering something like that.
Whenever I see movies with the New York skyline, I don't even look for it anymore. So it was like really surprised.
The opening of Sex and the City has it.
Oh my God, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's, wow.
Yeah.
Not the new one, just the original.
The original, yeah.
Shuckin', I don't know. I didn't watch the new one. I don't know what's going on.
Can I get into nominations?
Yeah.
So 2001 Golden Globes. Sandra Bullock nominated for Best Performance by an Actress in a Musical or Comedy, as she should be. And it was also nominated for, One in a Million was nominated for Best Original Song.
That was an original song?
They're one in a million, once in a lifetime.
I didn't know that was an original song.
The stars above us. Boom. Boom. I know that song. Really like this movie.
I learned something today. I didn't know that was an original. Did you know that was an original song?
No, but I can see it. I'm not surprised by it.
Also, do you remember people in like the Miss America competition? I was going to say pageant.
You can say pageant.
pageant. Do you remember people in the pageant doing like this dance together?
Like a choreographed number?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I remember the talent. I remember the swimsuit. And I remember the interview, but I don't remember that like group dance.
I mean, it's not every pageant, but there are definitely pageants that do a choreographed dance before
the show. Miss America pageants specifically.
Are you talking about Miss America or Miss USA?
They're different?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
If you ever want to talk about pageants, I actually know a lot about there. Well, there are more than just Miss America and Miss USA. Yeah.
You got the dresses for a man.
Yeah. There's also Miss Universe. There are a bunch. Well, Miss Universe is in the Miss USA. It's all part of that specific pageant. There are different like pageants with different pageant directors and different like whoever goes on to win Miss USA then goes to compete in Miss Universe because it's all part of the same pageant like umbrella. So there can be multiple Miss, for lack of a better word, like Mississippi's. There could be a Miss Mississippi USA and then a Miss Mississippi in like the Miss America pageant, and then there are a bunch of other different pageants as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, this one is Miss America.
No, it's fake. It's Miss United States.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it mimicking Miss USA or is it mimicking Miss America?
It's mimicking both of them. It's just mimicking pageants in general, but yeah, it's I'm sure that the trademarks for Miss America and Miss USA were not available, so they came up with a Miss United States.
So clever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I would never guess that. Okay. Yeah. So is it Miss America or is it Miss USA that does like the show-stopping group number?
I'm not sure, but I've heard of people doing like group numbers to open up the show. I really don't know. I don't necessarily watch them per se, but
do they come to you for like an extra dress for that?
I don't have the time to talk to you about the inner workings of getting dresses for these pageants. Okay,
that'll be a separate. We'll do an Instagram live.
That is
the follow-up.
An entire other animal that I do my best, honestly, not to know a lot about it, but like, there's like sponsorships involved. It's a whole thing. I'm not even going to pretend that I know what I'm talking about, but I do know there are times when all of the contestants wear the same dress and then I'm assuming either perform or doing opening number.
So has your, the one, tell me if it's too much, but the one question that I'm asking is that where they all wear a group dress, has your company ever been like, yes, we'll do everybody's group? No, okay.
No. But that has happened in the pageant realm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I don't remember that, but okay. I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
I will take your word for it. Thank you. I'm saying. You're welcome. Okay. So this was going to be a short one, you said, right?
Yeah, exactly. Already 20 minutes in. Let's go.
The FBI has clued into what seems to be a serial bomber. The next biggest threat is the Miss America pageant. It's up to Gracie Hart to dress the part of potential agent. I'm sorry, potential pageant.
There you go.
It's an agent. I don't know why I put agent, but that's like a Freudian slip if I've ever seen one. Okay. It's up to Gracie Hart to dress the part of pageant queen and go undercover to try to put a stop to all of this madness.
I really like your Gracie Hart to dress the part. That's a good sentence right there.
If I didn't fucking butcher it 17 times, it would have been great.
So our main character is Gracie Hart, a.k.a. Gracie Lou Freebush, played by the one, the only Sandra Bullock. Her co-worker and love interest is Eric Matthews, played by Benjamin Bratt. Pageant coach, Victor Melling, played by Michael Caine, who is now a vet on this podcast because he was Scrooge in The Muppets Christmas Carol.
He's a holiday vet, as you said.
Even better. Head of the Miss United States pageant is Kathy Morningside, played by Candace Bergen. Her assistant and secret son, I wrote song, not son, Frank, is played by Steve Monroe. Host of the pageant is Stan Fields, played by William Shatner, the one, the only. Hart and Matthew's boss is McDonald, played by Ernie Hudson. And Gracie's roommate and Miss Rhode Island is Cheryl, played by Heather Burns.
Who's a vet?
She's a vet? What'd she play in?
She was in The Politician.
Ah.
For one episode, but yes.
Love that. Okay. So after Hart goes rogue once again and gets the girls drunk and full on pizza to get information out of them, as one does. Oh, and also paint, which, okay. I'll say it now. I've never wanted something more than to go to a paint club like that. Like, how do you find a paint club? Actually, that was the whole premise of Dayglo back in 2011.
Ooh, you unlock the core memory. What? Dayglo? Get out of here.
That was the whole point of it.
Anybody say the words Dayglo together in a decade?
Naturally, our generation would spend money to go to Dayglo because we all watched Miss Congeniality as children and was like, I want to throw paint on me and it's going to glow.
Be covered in paint.
While drunk and eating pizza. Okay. Where was I before I so rudely interrupted myself?
You stopped at Dayglo.
Wasn't even in my notes. She once again gets in trouble, but finds out that Morningside is also getting fired this year, as well as Stan, which he already knew. Hart is already suspicious of Morningside. However, this means nothing to her boss because they caught the citizen, or so they think, and are pulling the FBI agents from the pageant, which includes Matthew and, more importantly, Victor Melling, right before the big competition. Hart refuses to leave and continues in the pageant. As Matthews and Vic are leaving, Victor tells Matthews that Frank is Kathy's son and he changed his name to cover his record. Matthews was hesitant to leave anyway, but that solidifies his return to the pageant with Melling to help Hart in this three-man operation now. The pageant continues and Gracie gets farther than she expected. She realizes that the bomb is in the crown, and breaks many a nose to get to Cheryl, who has just won, and she gets there just in time for Hart to toss the crown, and the bomb detonates and blows up the prop Lady Liberty. Did I take over some of your ending?
Mm-mm.
No? Okay.
Actually, no.
Okay, good.
Because I started with Gracie is on her way home and she's tricked into a room of incredibly thankful pageant women. They toast her, bring her up to the crown, and crown her Miss Congeniality. Gracie gives a speech showing her appreciation, sheds a few tears, admits she really does want world peace, and begins to hug all of her new pageant friends.
We have gotten so much better at we've gotten so much better at knowing exactly when the climax ends and exactly when the ending is.
It's been 1 week since it's been a battle.
It has.
Movies like this are just clear cut.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's those movies where there's like two parts to the climax where it's like, yeah.
I often feel like I'm steamrolling your ending, which I don't want to do.
No, I'm trying to go into exactly how the movie is wrapping up.
Okay.
Specifically. I think before I was giving like the prequel to that. And then I was realizing that I was like including like the last bits of the climax into the ending.
Yeah. Because there is that fine line between the downslope. Like,
This is the podcast version of a trust fall. You have to trust that I'm going to do the ending, and I have to trust that you're going to cover all the climax that leads right up to where I'm going to start.
True.
It's a big trust fall.
So IMDb, what did they rate this?
IMDb, it was a 6. It was low. It was a 6.3 out of 10.
The critics on Rotten Tomatoes, they gave this a 41%, which is
appalling. Oh my God.
Appalling. However, the audience redeemed it. They gave it a 61%. Still not the best, but...
I mean, it's not high at all on Metacritic either, because it was a 43 for the Metascore, and the user score was a 3.2.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it to be high on Metacritic. It also took me a moment to like sit back and reflect and be like, do I only like this movie because I've been watching it since for 23 years? Is that why I like this movie?
That doesn't have to be the case. That could be also be the same reason that you hate something.
True. Well, no, if I hated something, I wouldn't be watching it for 23 years.
It's like a song that's always on and you're like, how the fuck do I know all the words to this? I hate this.
No, no, there are definitely the things that like Happy, I'm not listening to that song ever again.
Don't do it. Because
I'm happy.
Stop it. Oh, no, no.
Uptown Funk. I've hit my limit with Uptown Funk.
This is, that's a good one. This reminds me of Finding Nemo. When he gets angry and she's singing Just Keep Swimming, he's like, stop singing that song. Now it's stuck in my head.
Are you my conscious? But like,
you could consistently hate something because it's just always around, is my point. Like the same way you're saying, do I like something because I've just liked it forever? You could hate something because you hate it forever and not really understand why you hate it.
Okay. I see that. I see what you mean.
Go either way.
Okay. But no, I love this movie. And I will die on that hill. These people don't know what they're talking about.
I also don't think they know what they're talking about. And I also think that it would be beneficial to know, like, what the score was around the time of, like, 2000, 2002. Because I'm wondering if all these shitty reviews are coming from now or then. And I'm not sifting through thousands of reviews.
No, I think my review...
For a podcast that doesn't pay us. Sorry.
I think my review was from, like, 2017. Can I give you my review?
Yeah.
I love this. 5 out of 5 stars. I love this movie. While following a Cinderella trope of drab girl gets makeover and gets noticed by hot guy. I mean, side note aside, very of the time, Princess Diaries. The film also has a feminist bent where the woman in question happens to be an ass-kicking FBI agent. Bullock, Kane, and Bergen are all laughing out loud funny in this delightful feel-good farce. Like many classical feel-good movies, think Clue and The Cutting Edge, this is one of those movies that audiences love for the long haul and critics love to criticize. In 20 years, it will be included in one of those classic romantic comedy packages alongside Dirty Dancing, Clueless, and Legally Blonde. Not everything can or should be a Martin Scorsese film. Sometimes you just want something funny and lighthearted. And that was the point that I really love. Because do I love a Martin Scorsese film? Absolutely. But do I also love something funny and lighthearted? You bet your bottom dollar I do. And that's why I love this movie.
It's true. I mean, if we don't have variety like that, then what the fuck is the point of making more movies?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, also, let's keep that thought when we talk next week about the film that we're talking about. I don't know if you watched it yet.
No, I didn't watch it yet.
Okay, keep that thought. Keep that thought in your head.
It's not a surprise, Dan. Our watch list is out.
True. We're talking about the holdovers next week. Keep that in mind when you're watching the film.
All right.
Remind me of this point next week because I'm going to forget.
Okay.
Thank you.
What am I reminding you of?
Not everything can or should be a Martin Scorsese film.
Got it. Sometimes that specifically.
Sometimes you just want something funny and lighthearted.
Okay. Funny and lighthearted. I feel like I should set an alarm for next week so I remember. Okay. So this is an 8 out of 10, and it's titled 6.0, really? Which I kind of like. Sandra Bullock's facial expressions, physical comedy, comedic timing, and great lines, ditto for Michael Caine. Not a great movie, but very good. And those two performances, plus Shatner's as the MC, make it a very worthwhile movie. When movies like Anchorman get a 7.2 by comparison, I feel like I'm somewhat alien to this planet. Keep forgetting that being concise on this website is not an attribute, so I'll digress. Humor is subjective, so everyone has their own equally valid opinion. These are all commas. It's like he's speaking in Shatner. Mm. But in my honest opinion, Sandra nailed it. Was at the height of her comedic prowess in this movie. And I'm sorry, And It Will Stand Up Over Time, not so much a great movie, but a great performance by Bullock.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So there's that.
What was I just about to make a comment on?
What happened?
I lost it. I was going to make a comment. Oh, William Shatner. I don't own a gun. My family were Quakers.
This movie is... So, did Nick watch this with you?
No, and he was mad. He was honestly mad because he loves this
movie. And he didn't watch it.
No, well, I just kind of like watched it on my own and I didn't tell him. And then he was like, oh, so you're watching this without me.
Wait, but I was there last week when we talked about it. He was there last week when we talked about it.
Yeah, and when he caught me watching it, he was even like, oh, so I make comments about how much I like this movie to your friends. And we just, you know, don't think to watch it with me. Okay, cool. I know, I'm bad.
This is your fault.
It's all my fault.
It is.
But no,
Nicholas, if you're listening, you heard me right.
He's probably asleep by now. It's way past his bedtime. But yes, he loves this movie.
I made Dave watch it and he was like, oh.
And did he like it?
Yeah, I think so. Well, so we were watching some other stuff and he was like, what do you want to watch? And I was like, just put on whatever you want, because whenever you're done with me, I need to watch this movie. And he was like, you don't want to watch anything? I was like, you don't want to watch Miss Congeniality, so I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And he's like, you make me sound like a bad person. And I was like, well, I don't know. Sometimes you might be. And he was like, what? I was like, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But I need to watch this movie. So, yeah. Like, figure it out. And then, like, I'll watch one more thing with you. He's like, fine, I'll put it on. And then, like, slowly the scenes with, well, they did the interviews. And I was like, you need to understand that what this woman is about to say is iconic. Like, people quote this regularly. And it was, describe your perfect date.
Oh, yeah.
So I think he got a kick out of that. He got a kick out of her doing the self-defense.
Oh, sting.
Yeah. Don't no, the whole to... thing.
Oh, the whole thing.
Yeah. And there was something else that really made him laugh. I can't remember what it was. But yeah, there were moments. He didn't say like, oh, I can't believe I had to watch this.
Okay, well that's good.
Do
we want to scoot into highs and lows?
Yeah.
We should add like a new segment, which is our husband's reviews. What did your husband think of this when you made him watch it with you?
That would require them to watch a lot of things that they don't want to watch with us.
True. But then it could just be like he refused to watch it.
We could add it. We already did.
We just did. We do it every episode.
It's true.
Because every time I'm like, what Dave think?
It's the unofficial segment.
Exactly. I don't have any lows for this.
I do.
You have a low? Ugh, go ahead. Give me your low first and then we'll go into highs.
It's a couple of continuity things.
Okay.
How is it that she can directly tackle a federal agent, but when some like low lame ass guy from security is pulling her off stage, she can't fight back and defend herself? It takes her so long. They spend this entire movie like making us believe that she's this hard ass, can literally beat up a male federal agent. And she's like, no, put me down. Sorry.
You make a good point.
Took her too long to throw him over.
I mean, she did eventually throw him over, but...
Took too long. That man is not a federal agent, Danielle. I don't know that man from Adam.
True.
He just had a black suit on.
True. It's a good point. I'm not taking it as a low, but it's a good point. Did you have another one?
I do. Because the thing is, when she does her... I don't know if I have any, if we have any friends that do jujitsu or any sort of martial art, maybe somebody can back me up on this one or give me a little bit more, because I'm going to phrase it in the way that I want to phrase it. And then these people who know a lot, hell of a lot more than I do, can probably phrase it with like the right terminology, but I don't always remember things because I go in and out of jiu-jitsu. But anyway, she's trying to throw this man over her shoulder. You cannot ever lose your feet on the ground. I'm sorry. The way that she did that, she would have gotten her spine cracked in half.
Oh, like something when dramatic. She did that?
She like jumped up and she was like, huh. We sat there and I was like, Dave, there's no fucking way. You can't have your feet off the ground. They always tell you, that's it. It's base. You have to make your base. And so what that means is you have to make your body really, really heavy, like as heavy as it can possibly be. And then that's how like people have a really hard time like lifting you up. But if you're just going to jump into their arms, you've made it easier for them to just like slam you into a table or whatever.
Okay.
So
it's more on the part of the technical stunt people that you were upset with.
Yeah, correct. I mean, okay. I know we have some people who listen who do, I don't know if I have any jiu-jitsu friends listening to the podcast, but I know that we have some listeners who have done like some sort of either wrestling or mixed martial arts. And so like, it's not possible. Okay, let me rephrase this. It might be possible, mm-hmm. but it's not probable.
Okay.
To do it and to have it be safe for the person who is doing the throw.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty unbelievable that she could do the things that she claimed to do.
I don't.
I mean, other than punching people in the nose. I've gotten
thrown around by people half my size.
Okay, but it's also Sandra Bullock. Like, it's not like she's training. Here's about
it. Sandra Bullock. It's the character. The character, we are under the impression that this character has immense training in probably boxing, probably kickboxing, some sort of martial arts, many forms of self-defense within those categories, because that is the character that they have created for us. I am no longer looking at Sandra Bullock. I am looking at Gracie Hart doing her part.
Oh, well. Good one.
Thank you.
Okay.
I had to redeem myself.
Let me move into a high okay. of mine.
Those are my two lows. That's it. That's okay. All I got.
I'll take them. I did not realize it until I was watching this movie that Gracie Hart, for me growing up, was a personal hero of mine. And
same.
I realize that now. Like, she was indeed a personal hero of mine. She's funny. She's not afraid to be corny and kind of a know-it-all. For example, like that scene where she gets like desked, but they're all in that meeting, like trying to prepare for the Miss United States pageant, and Matthews is supposed to be running it, and she just tells them exactly what to do, and they take it as her idea. Yeah. Or his idea. Makes sense.
Now I'm thinking.
The comedy in this is hysterical. When the mic goes off in her ear at the welcome breakfast, and she's like, Jesus Christ!
That's it. That's the one that made Dave laugh. That's it. Yes.
Oh, I took a bite of my bagel and I forgot to pray.
and then everybody around her starts praying. that was good. That was really good.
There's an excellent use of callbacks in this film. For example, like when Gracie first meets Kathy Morningside, when Gracie first meets Kathy Morningside and she said, it's not a beauty pageant, it's a scholarship program.
Yes.
And then flash before that, when she's meeting Victor Melling and she keeps saying, yeah, and yes. It's always yes, never yeah. And then once they're arresting Kathy Morningside, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yes.
Whenever, and then it's not a what did she call it?
It's not a beauty pageant, it's a scholarship program.
Correct.
Yes. Yes. Love when Nick says yeah, I would say yes.
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 That, and then I still do the thanks.
Thanks. From Harry Potter. I do that too. Sandra Bullock and Michael Caine play excellently off each other.
They should do more things together.
When she's like walking down the stairs And she's like trying to take all her guns off of her. And he goes, "What, no armored car?" She's like, "That's in my other dress." And then she tries to smuggle out the donuts in her dress. Mm-hmm. And the dog catches her. Fantastic.
The dog. That's right. What about when he teaches her how to walk and then she almost gets hit by the taxi?
I'm gliding here. I'm
gliding over here. Looking back, there's just also some subtleties that I really like. Like looking back on this, like, I don't really know if any other state, maybe we're partial, but I don't really know if any other state would have worked for this other than New Jersey.
Yeah. I could say that. I could say,
like,
yeah.
Maybe New York, but like also they had somebody, they had like, New York is such a big state that like, you know?
Yeah, no, she fits perfectly. And she's also, if you watch like the opening scene, she's leaving New Jersey to go into Manhattan. I think she's probably in like Edgewater or something like that.
Yeah, I thought it was Hoboken, but I don't, maybe it's not Hoboken.
No, I think it's maybe like Edgewater or
Weehawken.
Weehawken, potentially Weehawken. Looks like that, okay. That part of town. But it's definitely New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But then also when she has the first meeting with the pageant.
Victor Melling.
No, how's her name? The woman.
Kathy Morningside.
Kathy. When she has the first meeting with Kathy and when she has that conversation with her that this is, it's a scholarship program. It's not this. It's not what you think. She stands up and then the picture behind her is the crown. Like those cute little, those subtleties were cute. I liked them. I was there.
The crown sits perfectly on her head as she stands up. Yeah.
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 Actually, I think I do have one more low.
Go ahead.
It's tiny. I kind of wish that they didn't show us like the eye of the bomber. Because it was so easy to tell who it was. I kind of wish that I was guessing a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely. It definitely like played up that you realize like, oh, it's them.
But you learn like you just figure it out so fast. Like mm-hmm. I don't need you to spell it out for me. Like I understand it's a romantic comedy and it's not like a murder mystery, but like we could have stretched it out a little bit.
Yeah. Also, how
like it would have been nice if we saw the scene where he blew up the mannequin before we saw him looking through whatever the hell he was looking through or something like that.
Also, how great was the Mustang Sally reveal? The music in this film is so good because really it goes from Mustang Sally right into, well, she's all you ever want. She's the kind you like to talk and take dinner. It was such a great transition on the part of their music editor.
No, it is. It's,
she's a
it's
lady. Fantastic. Whoa, 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 she's a lady. Okay, I'm going to stop now.
Also, I feel like it goes without saying that the costumes I thought were really spot on.
God, yeah.
It was a little strange how they were all dressed as the Statue of Liberty.
I don't know. I feel like every time I watch that scene where they're dancing like that, I'm like, why don't I make that a Halloween costume? How do I make that a Halloween costume?
Well, you can. Of course you can.
You can.
I was thinking about that the whole time I watched this movie.
Yeah.
I went on Poshmark Danielle. And I typed in, because your girl knows that lavender mini dress is none other. What?
Is it Erv Lachey?
No, it's Herb Ledger.
That's what I just said.
What did you say?
Erv Lachey.
Oh. That's not what I heard. That's not what I heard at all.
It's Erv Lachey. No, it's Herb Ledger.
I'm pretty sure it's Herve Ledger, but
it's French. You don't pronounce the H in French. It's Herve Ledger, and you don't pronounce the ER.
All right. It didn't sound like that. I don't know what the fuck I heard. I've been saying Herve Ledger.
You said the same thing.
So long. What did I think that you said? I don't, it made me, it, I don't know.
I spoke I guess, in cursive, not English, not.
No, it wasn't that. Print, it was I'm like, sorry. Sometimes it just happened again. Sometimes like when, because we're on Zoom, when you're talking and I'm talking, certain things like go low and then they come back up. And it reminded me of like this, like jewelry company. I don't remember what
David
it was.
David Ehrman?
Yes. How did you know?
I'm with you. I know how your brain works.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
But no, that's an excellent outfit that she's wearing when she is revealed as Gracie Lou Freebush. Also, a fantastic name for a person.
Oh, well, it's a made-up.
Well, yeah, but it's funny that she made that Matthews took her made-up name and made it her actual name.
I agree. But so yeah, I've been trying to find that dress.
Oh, if
Can't find
I'll keep my eye out. I'll keep my eye out if I see it.
it. I was on Poshmark, scrolling
Scrolling.
endlessly.
What was your
Scrolling.
snack break?
Well,
Actually, I'm sorry. Did you go over highs?
I really liked Victor's character. I just find myself like he's trying so hard the whole time, and I don't know. I felt myself rooting for him more than like anybody else because he just got dragged into this. But also, like when they leave, he has her like prepping the night before, and then she like puts a gun to his head, and she's like, "We're done."
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel like this is attempted murder, but like, I guess it's fine because she's a cop.
It was definitely heated all over a donut.
That better have been a good donut. It didn't look like that good of a donut, though, I'll be honest.
No.
I don't know. So just like some small things like that. And I was like, what? This could be different. Anyway, and I also, I talked about the costumes. I also really liked the song, the infamous song from this. You want to hug me. You want to kiss me. Yes. Yeah.
Only Sandra Bullock could pull off a thing like that, a song like that, and make it just like funny and so her. Love her. Love Sandra Bullock in a romantic comedy.
This was a good time for her.
I just love Sandra Bullock in basically everything.
Yeah, I really liked The Proposal too, but more on that later.
Okay.
Such a good movie. Anyway, my snack break, it's Whole30 season, baby. So I had a chai tea
Ooh.
with compliant creamer.
Nice.
And I
A little
had
nut
a
pod. Got a little nut pod
It
action.
wasn't a nut pod, but it was like an that almond milk creamer in like the bottle like this that's unsweetened. You know what I'm talking
Yeah.
about.
Califia.
Thank you. There it is. You
Or I
got it.
think it's pronounced like Calify or something. I don't know. I think it's, I pronounce it wrong, but I call it Califia.
Sure, it's that one.
Yeah.
I was gonna say Cambridge, so
I know what you're talking about.
thank you. And then I had, I think they're blueberry muff. In Lara bars or just
Nice.
blueberry, I don't remember what they are, but they're really good because for the first time ever, I found a variety pack of Lara bars on Amazon that was not like, super expensive. Hard to find a variety pack. I end up getting one flavor until I can't stand it anymore.
Have you ever gone to just Target to buy them?
I have, but I don't buy the variety packs. I end up buying like the packs of, however. I don't know if they still have it, but Target had the pumpkin, either pumpkin pie or pumpkin spice, and it was their version of them.
The
And
Lara or the RX? Because I know RX makes one too.
no, it was, yeah, no, I know. It was Target's version of the Lara bar.
Oh, okay.
And they had a pumpkin pie one, and it was really good.
That sounds
And
good.
I don't particularly like the Target brand ones as much. They're not as good. They're
No.
not as tasty. But that one is good.
That sounds good.
What did you?
I had grapes and a cheese stick.
Okay.
I'm not doing
We're still
Whole30.
on cheese.
We're still on cheese. I need something that was like protein. I need some protein.
Okay.
So I felt like that was a good mix of like I'm gonna have a fruit, but also some protein to like just hold me over. 'Cause it wasn't like dinner yet. So I just needed a Snicky.
Okay, you said fruit, and I just remembered that I have these gigantic ruby red grapefruits in my refrigerator.
I love grapefruit.
I just realized I haven't had a grapefruit in like years, I don't think.
Underrated juice is grapefruit juice.
I'm about to juice one tomorrow for breakfast.
I don't like orange juice. Love grapefruit juice.
Yeah. And I have, as you know, I have two juicers because I have two of them from my registry. Same one. Yeah. I'm about to do that up for, make a juice for breakfast.
Mm, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So expectation versus reality.
With things that we've already seen, I mainly like think about this in terms of I forgot that this happened,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing, where like I wasn't expecting it because I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot that the bomb was in the crown.
The crown. But yes, you are the crown. Be the crown.
Be the crown. God.
I think it's hysterical to look back 23 years and see how different technology was. Like, it's so dated. So dated. The book camera in the first scene, the dressing up the FBI employees, the Starbucks. Yeah. Well, it's not technology, but just like what a Starbucks used to be 23 years ago.
Mm.
Wild. Wild.
It's true.
But it's great to see.
But yeah, because there were so many times where I was like, just take out your phone. Oh, no, mm-hmm. that's not a thing right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it really puts the years into perspective. I was talking to this person at work who was younger, and I knew that. And I was about to quote Miss Congeniality, and I had said, oh, have you ever seen the movie Miss Congeniality? And she's like, No, I didn't. And I'm like, oh, because you're born in 2003. You wouldn't know.
After this movie. My students are all born.
Yeah.
After this movie.
Yeah. So they don't know. They don't know Miss Congeniality.
They don't know.
No. And they should.
They're missing out.
They should know.
Mm-hmm.
I was, the first thing was like, you need to watch this movie. Watch it now.
Right now. Ready, go.
Go home and watch it on YouTube. Go ahead.
It's sad, but like you know, there were great movies that came out before we were born. The cycle just repeats itself.
Of course, naturally.
Do you have an IRL moment?
The constant tripping. I can relate.
Same.
Can definitely relate to that.
Classic romantic comedy trope.
Oh, yeah.
Clumsiness. And I love it. I'm here for it.
Girl who always wears sneakers, wear heels for first time, falls down. Love that.
Mm-hmm. No, not sneakers. She's wearing combat boots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got it from the same guy that put the tattoo on my ass. when she said, I'm going to get
chips. Sure you want a whole one?
When she said that, I'm going to get chip-faced.
Yeah.
So good.
Well, that's what, give me a pint. You sure you want a whole one? I'm going to get chip-faced.
There's also this really subtle line when she's bringing the Starbucks into, like, the room when they're about to have their meeting. And her and Matthews are talking. She's like, I don't argue. When do I argue? I may get into a heated discussion, but I never argue. I can relate to that. Feel like I don't argue. I get into very heated discussions, but I never argue.
I liked it where I think she was leaving the hotel room. And she's like, I need to get sleep. I haven't slept in 2 days. And he's like, come on, I'll give you a cookie. And she's like, it better be a big one.
That is a great line.
It is. It is. And I can relate. I can relate to that. I can relate to a donut.
Would you?
I'm not going to put a gun to somebody's head over a donut, though.
You wouldn't shove donuts in your boobs to try to smuggle them out of there?
I'd probably do that before pointing a gun at somebody for a donut.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. Also, I don't know if you know this.
What?
But my real IRL moment was about 10 years ago. And I just graduated from college,
mm-hmm.
and I was super fucking broke.
Mm-hmm. What'd you do?
I auditioned
2
for Miss America.
Did you really?
I did.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I did the phone interview. I sent in my
headshot.
What kind of? It was like, yeah, they wanted more of like a portrait type of thing. Mm-hmm. So I sent in a headshot, and that was like the first round, like to just fill out the application and do that. And so I did that. And then I had a phone interview and I passed that round. And then I realized like without sponsorship, this is going to cost me way more money. But I need you to understand that I went into this looking at what I could win.
Mm, yeah.
Because it's me. Right. Yeah. But I went about it a little bit differently. And in the back of my head, I was like, Christina, third place is a pretty hefty prize here. All you really have to do is be the second runner up.
Yeah.
And you could pay a decent amount of your student loans.
Is that why you were asking me about a choreographed number? Because you thought maybe that you would have to do a choreographed number?
No, I just genuinely didn't remember that. But like, I was fully prepared to like, yep.
You know what? I'm kind of remembering this now, vaguely.
I can't remember. I really didn't tell anybody.
I think you told me.
I did? Okay. Now I'm telling everybody.
You must really like me.
Danielle, what do you think?
Oh my goodness.
Well, so that's probably my real IRL moment that I
attempted.
I made it past the initial application, and then I made it past the phone interview, and then I stopped from there because I was like, if I don't win, I'm going to lose a lot of money.
Mm, yeah.
Kind of weighed that out.
All right. Is that everything?
I think so. I think we did it.
Perfect.
It was a short one, right?
Yeah. Just a solid 56.
An hour long. Okay. So next week we have what? The holdovers?
Yes.
The holdovers. Oh.
Oh.
All right, so that's what we're going to do. Lord help me. That's what we're going to do next week. So if you would like to watch with us, you are more than welcome to. Our watch list is on Instagram, and we are on Instagram and Twitter at Hey It's Two Girls. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Classic Cena. Danielle's on Instagram at Danielle Kobayanki. If you'd like to write in a review, you can DM us on one of those accounts for any of the movies in the January watch list, or you can email us at twogirlswatchtv@gmail.com. And guys, friends, if there is a nominated movie that you want from the Golden Globes or the Academy Awards, please let us know, and we'll do our best to add it to our list over the next few months. And then also the YouTube channel is Two Girls Drink Beer.
All right, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your weekends, and we'll catch you next week.
Bye.
What's up?